Welcome to the Danger Room, a place to prepare for the opponents you are yet to face. We discuss strategy and how to level up your game in Marvel Crisis Protocol. We will have our Xavier Protocol segment, some hot takes discussing something new and shiny, and our main topic of the week. We would like to begin by thanking you, the listener, for giving us your time to listen to our opinions of the game. On the podcast, we have Jacob, Sploosh, and myself, Dizzard.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Danger Room. As you'll be able to figure out, I'm not Dizzard. He's sadly not with us, but we do have a very special guest. In addition to Sploosh, we have Dave, aka Utility Cookie. Hey Dave, how's it going?
Hey Jacob, I'm doing fine.
Good, I'm glad you're able to join us, because otherwise we'd have literally nothing to talk about.
Really? Yeah, not much going on, right, this week?
Yeah, I know. You guys seen anything in the news recently? It's like not a lot on. Okay, but seriously, a huge amount of stuff has come out of Mini Stravaganza this week. There's an awful lot of new characters. There's an awful lot of old characters that we might touch on. But we're going to kind of ditch our format and just go through all of the new stuff and talk about our initial impressions. So it's kind of all going to be very fresh hot takes, maybe a little bit of considered opinion on all the stuff that we've heard. So, Sploosh, do you want to lead us off? What's the first thing we're going to talk about?
Well, I'll just say, first of all, the fact that they sort of surprised us with, like, I think we all probably assumed we were just going to get more characters for 2022. And when they just decided, like, yeah, we're not doing that, we're actually just going to change the game. And almost, I'm not going to say it's a 2.0, but it kind of feels almost like a 2.0. And that in a weird way, they're giving us new characters in an inverse direction. It's like, oh, you know, those old characters that some of them you maybe, you know, don't like so much, or we're just going to like change all of that, and we're almost giving you new characters, but you already own them, you know.
So just in case someone's been hiding under a rock or is like just missed this weekend, what's changing?
Well, I would say if you haven't watched it, definitely watch it, just because no matter what we talk about, you're going to want to hear it from the mouth of the developers. But on Sunday they announced like these massive kind of changes to the game, which we're going to go over. And yeah, let's see. I mean, I just would start with, they're changing what the character cards look like. They're going to have them horizontal now. And their reasoning, they said it was to help people with, like, I guess, vision issues. And also they mentioned, like, some of the languages, they couldn't fit all the words into their cards with the way that the game was played currently, the way that it was done.
Looking at you, Germans.
So, you know, I don't know how much on the podcast, but I do know that in our Discord, it's been said many times that people have wanted like a card pack, like almost like a character update. And so what they're going to do is they're changing the layout of the character card, as I just said, and they're going to give everyone those updated cards for free online as like a printout, similar to how they've run their side games. The Ultimate Encounters, for example. But if you're willing to wait, I think they said quarter two, they're going to have an official card pack, which they didn't say anything about Crisis cards or anything, but they did say it's meant for new and old players. So I do kind of hope that not only could we get all the new characters, and by new characters, I mean like the core set characters. And that was a big emphasis. They wanted the core set to be relevant for this game kind of forever. And that's very clever for us, the players, and for the developers, because for the developers, they get to make money off their core set, which is a key component of the game. And I'm sure you guys have experienced when you talk to new players, it's hard sort of to recommend the core set. Like, there's so much good stuff in there that's nothing, you know, it's like movement templates and range tools and dice and, you know, like those things. But if we're being honest, like the characters in the core set were kind of falling a little bit to the wayside. And so they're going to update like basically like all the core set characters. And don't quote me on this, but I was told that they said roughly 50 characters in the game will be reviewed for updates. And so that's very exciting. I mean, I don't want to make like a laundry list, but like, can we just say like there's characters like Ultron, Ebony Maw, Okoye, Bullseye, Star-Lord, Winter Soldier, maybe even Wong. Like, a lot of these characters are within that, like, 50 zone.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, yes. Yes, Ghost Rider, thank you. But, like, dude, I, like, when someone mentioned Ultron would get reworked, I don't know if I do this thing where I'm like, wait, he's in the game?
Then... I've actually had the same thing. I was thinking about, who else should they redo? And I was thinking, oh, wait, right, Ghost Rider is a thing. And we also have Ultron. Right. Oh, yeah, Ultron is also there. There is a model.
Yeah, like there's characters like Cap that we like all kind of like, at least in the community, people kind of moan about a little bit because Cap's such a popular character and he's a part of the most popular team in the game. You know, everyone loves the Avengers. And so we're used to complaining about Cap. But when you mention like Ultron and Winter Soldier and even, I don't know. I don't know if they touched Doc Ock, but even it's like Bullseye and Star-Lord. Like, I don't know, man. It gets me really excited because these are characters that a lot of them, honestly, I haven't painted. And I know we come from a competitive point of view, but I know that even casual people probably have like their list of characters that they're kind of like in the corner, you know? And we would like, I got to just tell you, when I saw Bullseye, it was actually like exactly a year ago, they spoiled his mini. I was like, I don't know what he does, but he looks so cool. And I know Bullseye's not like the most exciting. He's not like dynamic or anything, but that like cocky pose with like the blades hiding behind his back, I was so hyped for Bullseye. And then when he, you know, we saw his character card, it's kind of a letdown, you know? I haven't even painted my Bullseye. He's just kind of chilling. And I kind of am excited to like maybe, you know, hit refresh myself with those characters and actually give myself a chance to paint and all that. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
They have said that they're not going to touch core Peter Parker, which is probably fine, and core Doc Ock, which is maybe making me a little sad. And I think that's to do with the foil like character dual thing. It's probably the reason for that. They don't want to release a product and then immediately have like the cool foil cards be like invalidated. So I can get there's a business reason for that, although it does make me a little sad that Doc Ock's not going to get a little bit of a polish.
That is a little bit of a bummer, I have to say, because I don't think Doc is way far off, and I don't think that Spider-Man's too far off either, but it would be kind of nice. Maybe kind of a segue, though, is they mentioned you can play now the same character in your team of 10 characters, so you can bring both Spider-Mans in a team.
No, in a roster, for sure.
In a roster, yeah. You can't play them at the same time. That would be ridiculous, but... you can bring Corset Peter Parker, and then you can bring Amazing Spider-Man into your 10. But you
can't bring two of the same characters. So you can't have a team full of Spider-Man Peter Parkers.
Yeah, no. You guys, is there any? I mean, I think for me, the problem is I don't actually like the new Doctor Strange very much. But is there any other relevance to this? I mean, I guess it's more future-proofing, and I think it's a quality of life change that's pretty cool, right? Oh, and Widow. I guess you could play both.
Oh, Widows. Right. Widows. Say,
speaking of someone who has been in a draft and accidentally drafted both Widows, I wish this change was like 6 months ago.
That's good. Well, I don't know. On those topics, you guys, anything I missed or... as far as redoing, I mean, we could talk about the characters. They did show us a few changes. I mean, I don't want to get too deep in it, but like, I'm very happy with everything they showed us.
Yeah, Dave, you go.
Me too, actually. And I have to say, this really bodes well, I think, for the longevity of the game, because I've like you guys, right? We've all played different kinds of war games, and after a while, your collection becomes a bit obsolete, but. With these changes and their willingness to do this, I mean, everything gets revitalized in a way. Everything is new. An entire new meta will be formed around this, and what we've seen so far, I really like it. Actually, Hulk, I'm a big fan of Hulk, and it feels like you can really run him like he should be.
Man, I was playing Hulk before he was cool.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, and he's really cool now.
You're such a hipster.
So, again, just in case some of our listeners haven't seen some of the changes, what they talked about in the stream was this idea that characters are on a bell curve, and they're just trying to kind of tighten that bell curve so that we haven't got any particular, you know, the outliers towards the bottom and towards the top, but just a little bit closer to the middle. So just... a really good example. I really like the approach they took to CAP. CAP is, you know, generally regarded as being a bit of a tax. You're paying for that excellent leadership, but you're not getting a great fourth-threat character out of it. And they just gave him a little tweak where they increased the size that he can push with his strike, and they put an extra power on his shield throw. Just a couple of little, and it generates a power automatically. So just a couple of little quality of life fixes that don't fundamentally change the character.
Die.
Sure, yeah, it's better for sure. But it's still the same character who does the same thing. He just does it a little bit better because now he's more likely to be able to like move up, throw a shield, have a power to bodyguard, or, you know, it's just small tweaks. And again, they're also bringing some characters down. So characters like Shuri, just limiting her size on her pushes to size 3 rather than anybody in the game. So no pushing Dormammu around Shuri.
Black Dwarf.
Yeah. Size 4 characters. There seems to be like size 3 seems to be their new cutoff of like, okay, if you've got a push, then like up to size 3 is fine. Seems to be their. So if anyone's got multiple push, I'm thinking Panther will get this as well. There'll be like a size 3 limitation on it. And so any size 4 characters are going to get like a little buff from that because of all these size 3 limitations on all these pushes. And things like MODOK as well, they brought down his Bow to the Wall of MODOK to once per round, once per turn, and his rerolls to once per turn as well. So you can't do endless rerolls, which means you're probably going to be seeing his spender a little bit more often because he hasn't got as many good ways to spend power because he can't endlessly bow and endlessly reroll anymore. So I think you'll see a little bit more of the Doomsday Chair.
Did you catch the reroll change as well, like the timing?
Yeah, they've kind of rolled back that ruling that they had by rewording the power. So the power now triggers during the modify dice step, which is basically it's going to go back to working how everybody was playing it anyway. But they're going to do it because of the wording by changing the wording on the card. And we saw that on MODOK and Shuri, and I'm sure it's going to apply to Star-Lord's leadership, which may well get a rework as well.
Probably Wakanda's leadership as well, which you know, people might say, oh, no, a buff to Wakanda. But now with these other nerfs, maybe we kind of get what we've been asking for. I think Okoye's probably got a massive target on her head. She better run and hide.
It's going to be difficult, though, to... I mean, what do you change with her that doesn't, like...
mess with her rerolls. The reroll is really the criminal thing she's doing, I think.
The blanks? Are the blanks too much? I don't know.
I think without the blanks...
In my opinion, I don't think she's really too much. She's an easy slot in, but I don't know if they... Maybe they just need to bring up the other twos instead of bringing her down, maybe?
I think she's the outlier, and she's the one that needs to be brought back to the mean rather than bringing the mean up to her. Otherwise, no one's ever going to play any threes or fours. You just play two great twos.
Yeah. Well, she's not really a much problem, but maybe it's because I'm playing Black Order or lots of Mystic Attacks.
I mean,
my opinion may be a bit. How do you say it?
Akoya is not the most fun character, you know. She hasn't got the most interesting stuff going
true.
On.
Yeah,
she
that's true.
Efficient
that's
true. And good. So
she could lose the reroll, I think. Yeah,
I can see that. Although, you know,
I think you. I think you kick her reroll out. Some people have suggested only let her reroll one on defense, but like I think both are kind of criminal, to be honest with you.
Yeah. We said we weren't going to get too into the weeds on this, so we'll kind of, in general.
Let me say one thing on this. I don't know if you guys caught it, and you know, if people aren't in our Discord, I recommend it because Pagani is one of the main developers of this game, and he put a comment in our Discord last night, which had me rolling. I laughed at it like 3 times. basically, somebody had said in the Discord in the direction of Pagani, was like, oh, now that they're redoing all these characters, now people can just, you know, like message the developers and constantly beg for like their old characters to be chained. Which he responded with a meme of like William Dafoe with this like absolutely crazy face. I don't know if you guys saw that. I know you're both European, so it's kind of late at night. But basically it was hilarious because he was basically like, I got the impression from that not only is he maybe even already getting messages about this, but like expects a lot more in the future, maybe even on Facebook or whatever. So I guess my point is, maybe have mercy on these developers and like let's just trust that like they're doing a good job and like the changes we all love them, you know? So maybe let's not bug them every time we think one of our favorite characters needs a tweak, you know? Because like, right, they've totally opened Pandora's box here.
Yeah, yeah. But I have to say, looking at what they're doing, I think, yeah, we can trust they're doing the right thing, right? Because these are a lot of things I think we've asked for. And like everyone's complaining about MODOK. Now he's getting these few nerfs. Sure, he's being handled. Caps gets buffed. Hulk has changed. So, yeah, if this is only the tip of the iceberg, I have some good hopes for other characters as well.
Just another word on timing again. If you're not up to speed with this, they're saying that these new cards are going to go live before the end of the year, and I think they're probably hoping for significantly before the end of the year, sort of October, November time.
Yeah, apparently they're done already, and they've been working on this for like a year. So this isn't anything like that just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
You can print them, right?
Yeah, the delay is they want you to be able to buy the cards, which I would personally, I don't know about you guys, I want to own the cards. I'll pay them money to change.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't own a great printer. I'm sure there's some guy out there that's like, hoo ha ha, I have like this industrial super printer that does like the best color and cuts the cards out perfectly. I mean, I'm sure that guy exists and they might be on eBay or something, but I'd be more than happy to pay AMG for these changes. This is everything I've ever wanted. I, you know, like one of the biggest complaints when we do character reviews is like, oh, all you do, Sploosh, is compare everything to Medusa. And it's like, well, because Medusa exists. You know?
Well, the Medusa, I don't think whichever way you count it, either by release or by CP, I don't think she falls in the first 50. So yeah. Maybe that Medusa continues to be a thing. And maybe she's like the second round of modifications. Or
They kind of insinuated they're going to keep doing this. So I'm cool with it. It's just the point is like bring some characters down, raise some characters up, and suddenly this game is kind of anything you want to do. You know, there's always going to be characters that are slightly maybe above curve, but at least the curve is normalized. And to me, that's amazing. You know.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I've been in kind of two minds about this because there's always this thing about, oh, AMG don't care about the competitive scene. They don't care about what competitive players are thinking. And they've cased this in the language of this is all done for new player experience and for the, you know, the quality of the game for people just coming into the game and for the casual people. But part of me thinks, you know, this is also competitive rebalancing. I don't buy the argument that they're just completely don't care.
No, because I don't. If they wouldn't care, they wouldn't change so much, I think.
Yeah. You'd like pick a few things to do rather than a major overhaul, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so.
I do think that making money off the core set, which is not an evil thing, is a very logical thing to do as a company. It's something that most companies just get wrong, let's be honest, right?
I mean, you're not wrong, but the amount of developer time that it's taken to fix this is a significant investment from the company, and it's not going to generate any new revenue from its existing player base. And arguably, it wouldn't have that big an impact on new players either, because you still, I mean, you said it yourself, you hesitate to recommend the core set, but you still do. You still say, well, if you're going to buy all of the dice and the rulers and the terrain, then it's only like, you know, $10 extra to get 10 models, so it's a buck a model or whatever. So, you know, it's I think people were still recommending it. So I think from that side of it, it's not a profit driven motive, I don't think, fundamentally.
Though I of course agree with you, I will counter argue that generally I've found even in other games, if you can have those movie favorite characters on the table, it is a big deal for your game. So having Cap and Hulk playable is insanely important.
And Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iron Man. We didn't even mention Iron Man. That guy. Oh my. Like I heard someone say he might get the repulsor blast from the new Iron Man.
Oh, that would be really good.
That would be so nuts, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that thing like range 4, like rapid fire?
Yeah, wild rapid fire, right?
I think it's hit wildfire. Like it's got the X-Men version of wildfire.
Yeah, he's like slept to the mutant once, and so he has the mutant curse on rapid fire.
Yeah, apparently he's mutant now. But anyway, that's, yeah, I mean, just having Iron Man, Cap, Hulk on the table, it's a big deal. So I think that's marketing in itself. You want, like, any game to survive needs new players constantly coming in. And, you know, you can recommend, hey, you saw the Avengers movie, go buy this and you're going to love it. And even just, like, buying Hulk now, like, I hate to say it, but, like, there's, like, a Hulk tax of, like, oh, you want to play Gamma? You got to buy Hulk. And, like, a lot of people are not happy with Hulk. So I think that it's just huge. I mean, that's just, there might be a whole pile of boxes of unsold Hulks that are, going to now be recommended or people are going to willingly purchase. You know, it could be, it's a big deal.
Jacob knew all along. He was playing Hulk from the start, so.
Yeah,
preparing for this moment.
Go back and read those articles because they might become a lot more relevant.
Yeah,
I might even play Hulk and X-Men. I was just thinking about that a few hours ago. It's like, is Hulk an X-Men?
Maybe Midnight Suns for this one place.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. I can't believe I'm actually thinking Hulk's good now. This is wild. We can move on to we're getting 10 tactics cards instead of 8. So now you can say 10 tactics cards, 10 characters, which just sounds better to say. I think that's great. We recommended that. I'm sure, I don't know, Cookie, if you heard or felt the same way, but after playing the Battle Realms, I think having a lot of tactics cards actually made people really happy. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it makes roster building a bit more easier. I've been playing Asgard a lot lately, and it feels like a strain to bring. I'm doing it, but to bring Sibling Rivalry, for example. But once it goes up to 10, it's much easier to slot in that card. If you want to play dual affiliation, it's a lot easier to bring the affiliated tactics cards. So it's just, I think it's a good quality of life change. That does not imbalance something or anything. I think it's just better overall.
Yeah, I think definitely what you're saying about dual affiliation, we've kind of been seeing a slow trend in the competitive list when you look at the breakdown of single versus dual. That's been sort of slowly trending towards single. Yeah. And I think an element of that has been tactics card squeeze, because you nearly always want to bring one tactics card with an affiliation, and you often, you know, there's lots of cases where you want to bring two, but often one gets cut, particularly if you're going dual. So it is definitely a pinch point, and maybe they want to encourage a bit more roster flexibility. They also talked about having more, the fact they're now releasing fewer unaffiliated cards and having more affiliated and character specific cards. And so if you've often, you're like, well, you know, I've got Killmonger here. I'd really want to take Usurp the Throne, but Killmonger, I'm only going to play him in this one crisis or on this one threat level. And so can I justify taking up one of my 8 tactics card slots for something which I'm only going to play like 5-10% of the time? And so often it might get left out. Whereas in this setup, you might go, great, well, I've now got a space for that.
Yeah, Jacob, I'll just add to that, when I've been building Dormammu lists, I've found myself like, I'd want to play, let's say, Scarlet Witch and no more mutants, but like you said, I would only play it in, say, like 10 or 15% of games. So it wasn't worth the cost of the character to play that tactics card, even though I really wanted that tactics card, right? Yeah. So what would end up happening is I would actually cut, let's say, Scarlet Witch for, I don't know, I mean, MODOK or something, because I was like, well, even though I maybe actually think I want Scarlet Witch more, I can't really afford this tactics card for such a small percentage. So basically, it was like bumping characters out of my teams, you know? And so, like, obviously with Dormammu, I have anything I want, right? So I could play like everybody. But it's like, oh, well, do I take Iron Fist or I take like Valkyrie? You know, I mean, obviously the answer might be both, but there isn't room for everything, you know? So I had to make cuts. And so honestly, like, there was a point where every time I needed a new tactics card, I had to like cut a character that had like an affiliated or like a special character tactics card. So this is really exciting for that. I have to revisit the roster at some point once this is all legal and, you know, rethink all that, because it's now an option that I can have. So, yeah, we can move on. Infinity Gems. This actually was clarified today again by Pagani in our Discord. He said that, for example, if you were playing like, let's just say Thanos, and you, well, let's just start with what the rule is. So you when now when you have Infinity Gems, they don't count as character slots. The Infinity Gem is basically like literally stapled to your character. So if you take like Reality Gem and Corvus, you attach Reality Gem to Corvus, and you cannot decide to not take the gem. The gem is like attached to that character. Now that means you have a lot more flexibility in your roster building, but it means you can't use gems to like toy with threat values. And so what he said in our Discord to clarify is someone was like, well, what if I bring like two gems on Thanos? Can I like play one gem on Thanos? Or another example, let's say I brought like Thanos and Loki and I had like a gem, like what, mind gem? You cannot choose to like move the mind gem between them. That you pick, it's like literally picture it, it's like stapled to that character that you have to tell your opponent which gem goes where, and that's how it works, you know. So I'm curious though, I mean, Cookie, you're the Black Order guy, what do you think about all this?
At first I was like, oh man, this sucks, but I have to think about it more, especially with how crises are changed. We'll touch on that later, I think. I think, yeah, it's the easiest to splash affiliation with only three slots now. Because I think for me, I'll also always be playing Thanos with a Mind and Time Gem for 9 points. So he's always 9 points for me. Then Corvus with the Red Gem and Proxima. So from that 17 points, at 18, I almost always played that roster as well because it's so good. At 19, you add a two. At 20, you add a three. And then you have seven slots for 14, 15, or 16 points. So I think you're not as flexible anymore. Like you can, I used to play a Black Order at 16 and at 15, but I never liked that because I really like the time and mind gem on Thanos. So now for me, nothing really changes because I was playing unaffiliated. Because I didn't have too much room, but now I have a lot more room, so I can play something good like Web Warriors, for example, those low point values. So I like it. Don't know if my opponents will, but
yeah,
we might circle back to Black Order again later in the podcast.
Yeah,
but I think just thinking about Thanos by himself, I think his stock as a splash character has really gone up.
Oh, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Just last episode, we were talking about these crazy plays you can do with Time Thanos on like Legacy Virus and mm-hmm. Panic. And yeah. So having him as one of your 10 rather than as three of your 10 to just go, well, okay, if you play one of those things and if we randomly get one of those and I've got priority, then I've got my Time Thanos out to play.
Yeah. And honestly, you can just play all three Black Order characters and do the same thing with three slots. I mean, still seven more slots for other characters. I get what you're saying. I mean, honestly, like, you know, there's like that team Spider-Foe out there that love Thanos in Spider-Foes, and like this is kind of like a little bit of a gift for them. Because I mean, granted, they're just taking mind, you know, they might just do mind only Thanos, and then like that at least make him a little more flexible. But the fact is he's just one slot now in that team, which is a big deal.
Yeah, and this kind of circles back as well to the fact that they're changing characters and Black Order will be in the characters who are being looked at. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some like minor debuffs to probably Corvus and maybe Thanos.
Nah, they don't need it.
Also, this is kind of circling back, but do you guys think that they give Green Goblin an extra dice, especially since he lost drop off? Like the poor guy, he needs a bone, right?
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be unreasonable.
Yeah.
Green Goblin was like CP like 20 or something too. So he's maybe even more than that. I think he might even be lower, like 12 or something. But yeah, Green Goblin came out relatively early in the CP list. So
I can't even remember, man, what first 50 models
are. I'll tell you, number 50 is Bullseye. So everything before Bullseye.
Yeah,
is actually Enchantress, I believe. I believe Enchantress Angela are also before 50.
that's... Yeah. And they kind of hinted that Siren's Call is going to be once per rounded, like, for once per turned, like MODOK's Battle Sword of MODOK is going to...
Well, yeah, like Sinister set the precedent, actually,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it seems to be the trend now, right, with MODOK as well? Yeah.
So, yeah, that might be something we'll see for sure. It just seems kind of obvious that they changed that one thing on Enchantress.
I'm pretty happy with this Infinity Gem change. It frees up an extra slot in my Defenders roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you always take it in Defenders, but I was thinking you don't take the gem in Midnight Suns. I've kind of said a few times I love Original Strange in Midnight Suns, and I liked taking the gem, but I guess that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, it kind of puts Kybosh on a dual focused around Strange, where you've got the possibility of putting it on. But I guess this feels like, because I think this is probably called for, because this affiliation has just been absolutely dominating the meta. But this is another soft nerf to Guardians, because they used to have a bit of flexibility with their power gem.
Oh, yeah.
Star-Lord is in this first 50, I think,
oh, hell
right?
Yeah. Oh, he's like one of the first, yeah.
Yeah, I hope they fix him. Because I really like Guardians, but every time I play them, it's like, yeah, I'm basically playing unaffiliated here.
Yeah, I mean, like Winter Soldier is one of the earliest characters that guy.
Oh, right, have, Winter Soldier, but... that guy.
But yeah, I think Loki is probably one who's going to suffer from this a little bit as well. It's quite nice having the option on Loki to put a Mind Gem on him. It's kind of having that flexibility. Because he's not seeing loads of play anyway. And whenever I play Loki, he's always so much fun. But
he is great.
Yeah, when you want to put him in a roster, it's kind of having the option is good. But I guess now you either build into kind of the Cabal control. I'll have Loki with the Mind Gem and MODOK and Enchantress. Although that then again, that whole archetype is going to be gotten less good by the changes to their bow effects. So. Mm.
All right. So yeah, I guess then I think then that last thing is the crisis change, which I think is huge. So obviously, I'm sure everyone knows how we do crisis now, and they're basically saying you still bring three and three, and then basically, I mean, I just picture it when I was at NashCon, I would shuffle up my three and then put them in front of my opponent, and I'd have them pull a card out, and that was the like. Banned card or whatever. Yeah. It's basically the opposite. Now you do that, your opponent pulls a card, and that's the card you play. Which sounds very simple. It's definitely simplified, but I think it has massive repercussions, this decision, for competitive play and casual play. I don't know, you guys want to elaborate, you think, on that, Cookie?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan myself of that change. I get that on first glance, maybe you could think, oh, this evens out the playing field, because now I can't force my Legacy Virus play with Black Order, for example. That's true. But you also don't have the answer to Black Order now that you can force. And I think that can be a lot worse. So maybe, I mean, this soft stuff is still fresh, right? So I've just looked at it through my lenses from Black Order, but I can see it leveling the playing field maybe a bit for the more traditional affiliations. But I also think, maybe this is a bit incoherent thoughts going from left to right here, but also thinking crisis selection on a competitive level will be a bit more bland, because I'm not taking odd extracts, because what if I lose priority and my opponent says, okay, yeah, you have all odd extracts, so here. You can take extracts, and thank you for the center one, because I have Angela in my roster, right?
Okay, so, I'm gonna try and challenge you there.
Yeah, sure.
I think this is kind of what one of the rationale behind this change is, this is clearly, this game is a game which is a victory point game, and you win off the victory points nearly all the time. A total wipeout doesn't happen very often. And what's been a really strong force until relatively recently has been the control squads. You know, Wakanda has been up there all along, and Web Warriors have been there or thereabouts for a good while now. And I think what this will do is you can, okay, you go down, I go down 3-2 on extracts. Okay, what does that mean? That means I have to go and get you. I have to chase you down. And this is something which, you know, with the Defenders Portal plays, I've seen a lot of people trying to chase me down. And, you know, they can make for really good games, because rather than a sort of a slightly cagey, okay, no one really wants to commit, you've got to go, well, okay, I'm clearly the beatdown player. I've got to come to you, and I've got to make things happen. And that can make for a really dynamic and interesting game. Now, from a competitive standpoint, I think you're right. It's, you don't want to be in that situation, but I can see from a design standpoint why they might want to do that.
So a counter, I like that you brought up the beatdown thing, because this is massively relevant. And honestly, there's a lot of things. Just in literally what you said, there's like four subjects. But I'll start with the beatdown discussion, because you mentioned it. So obviously, let's just say for the sake of discussion, Black Order is like top of the top for killing and like that attrition style. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to use Web Warriors, because Wakanda's in this weird place where people don't seem to like them that much anymore. But let's just say Web Warriors are the opposite of Black Order. They're like the fast scoring, like, you know, objective team, right? So that's I think those teams, because they're so polar different from each other, playing them is actually going to get ridiculously simplified. I think you just jam like three of the best slow things and three of the best fast things, and that's pretty much all the decision making they're going to make. But what happens to all the teams in the middle? So like, I mean, I play X-Men, and it's like I'm losing agency on so many levels. One, like Cookie's trying to say, like, I can't bring research anymore to counter like the fact I lost priority. I can't bring like Demons Downtown anymore, because like maybe I wasn't playing Demons Downtown all the time because the game wasn't forcing me to. So I could play Demons as like a counter to Web Warriors, who obviously I know are better at extract play than I am. So I'm changing gears. I'm going from, I'm becoming the beatdown player, and I have like strategies to counteract and help me be a beatdown player. But now like I lost that agency, right? And then there's also like millions of examples in the middle, right? But the point is, once you identify that you're going to be stuck as like the beatdown, you're now given no counterplay for it. And you're making all these decisions before the game even starts. Like before you even get to the table, when you're at home putting your cards together, you have to decide in that moment, are you going to be like the aggressive, like objective, fast scoring team? Or are you going to be like the slow team? Because I don't think you can afford to hedge and kind of throw like some slow and some fast into your three, because you might just like be losing the game because you accidentally pulled the wrong speed. You know what I mean? I guess I'm curious, from what I've said so far, what do you think about that? And Cookie?
I kind of agree there, because, like I said, right, if you have a certain, let's say you're playing Wakanda, or you were both playing Criminal Syndicate, we both bring Gamma, but the one who's not having priority is having a field day, because they're activating last and can throw you off and like keep ahead on points that way. And you're not being able to bring a counter or force that counter is on a competitive level, I really don't like it to lose because of, I don't know, something I don't have control over. Sure. Yeah. You can say you have control over it because you take the crises. Like I mentioned earlier, that you want to mitigate risks, so you're not gonna bring these risky plays anymore, or plays that you would normally bring because it's good for you on certain situations, but now they can turn against you. And I think another thing is that I get what it's trying to do, right, to make it more of a game, because you actually play and beat each other up.
Let me just say what they're trying to do, Cookie, is. Well, I don't remember. Maybe you can help me on this math, Jacob. But the math, okay. So mm-hmm. If Cookie wants to force Virus on me, what's his chances? He's got to win the 50-50 roll, and then he picks the thing he wants, and then he has a 33% chance to discard. I don't know what that combo of math is. I don't know if you have a guess number or a random
jump. So if you're, with the current system, you've got a 33% chance of getting your primary thing. The thing you, like, this is the thing I really want to play. You've got a 33% chance of getting it with priority and a 50% chance of getting it with or without priority. So an extra 17 without priority.
Yeah, but you want to have prio for like some of these tricks to work. So like the combination of rolling a 50% die and then another 33%, that percent is even lower, right? So what they've done is made it even harder. So now it's not 33% to discard it. So it's 50% to win the priority roll, and then it's 33% to actually get what you want.
Yeah, so you're looking for 17.
So instead of 30% to get rid of it, it's 33% to get it. So that was their focus, I believe. Now, I think though that like we're like you're and sorry to interrupt you, Cookie, but like it's kind of short-sighted, right? And because that's not actually what's going to happen.
No, and maybe the chance was lower in the current or older, well, whatever you call it, situation, because you might bring two crises, right? That that fit that game plan. So, for example, with Black Order, I bring Alien Ship and Scrolls. So you have you always can play the game plan once you win extracts, for example.
Yeah.
So now that gets cut in half. Okay, but I mean, what I was getting at was, like you were saying, the extremes, and Black Order is one of the extremes, and Web War is maybe one of the extremes in the other direction. Is I think they will actually get even worse. So because. Roster is now in my head for Black Order, right? It's Alien Ship, Scrolls, and I don't know, Legacy Virus. Maybe not even Legacy Virus. Maybe, I don't know, Senators or something. Mm-hmm. It's all three of the same. So if I get extracts, fine. It's one of these three. Cool. I'm still playing the same game. And if you give me Secures because I lost Prio, then I'll bring my seven other characters, maybe Sam Spam, on 14, 15, 16. Also very fun, because now it's maybe Sword for you or something else, right? So yeah, I think it gets even worse in the extremes. So bad matchups become extremely bad matchups, and everything in the middle is there for those kind of rosters. It gets better.
But you can also bring demons, right? With Black Order. Yeah, sure. And then if you randomly draw demons, you're like, all right, I'll just bring like my best Black Order team or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
And then if you don't get that,
you've lost priority. And what if you're playing on like demons and I don't know, herb or something?
They'd probably bring, maybe, but they're going to probably bring cubes or spider infected. And it's
I don't know. Are they bringing that anymore?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm playing Web Warriors, I would.
Even if you lose prio, I don't know, you lose prio, and then I say, okay, take extracts. And you draw that spider infected, and I get ahead on 3 and 2.
Yeah, I think
that's true, right? Because Thanos could go grab a middle spider or something.
Yeah, and go back, right? Okay, cool.
But I think what Jacob's trying to say is they might catch me on my threat values because of the gem change, but I think most of the popular fast extracts are relatively high threat values.
That's true. I mean, I've been looking at defenders a lot recently, and I think defenders are flying. So I just go, if I win priority, I'm going extract play. If I lose priority, I'm going attrition play. And I think defenders through portals do that equally well. So there are affiliations that can go both ways. So that's maybe a good example of a middle ground and what you need to be able to do. And I think kind of Web Warriors, I think you're right, they can play very control and points focused, but they've got a really strong pivot into attrition. They've got some great beatdown characters now. So I think what you're needing to do is if you're going single affiliation, take a well-rounded affiliation that has got options both ways. And maybe something we're going to start seeing more of is if people are going dual affiliation, they go, well, this is my extract affiliation and this is my secure affiliation. And they go, well, if I win priority, then great, this is what I'm doing. And if I lose priority, then maybe I'm literally playing a different affiliation because of that reason.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think like there's certain things that people have been doing that we're definitely going to have to change our habits. And I mean, we might just see like, correct me if I'm wrong, do like Web Warriors bring like three map Ds or something? I mean, like, is it going to make it a little more generic where people just aren't cute anymore? They don't have like the sort of like the third card. I know you've discussed that. We've discussed in the past having this like third card that lets you kind of audible or have like a bad matchup answer to your bad matchups. Now I think you just lean hard into like what you're good at and then just, I don't know. Bad matchups.
I think a really good example is like Criminal Syndicate on Secures. They're going to be taking Fisk. They're going to be taking Terrigen Mists. And they're going to be taking Gamma. They're just going to take all of these are three great Secures for me. And I don't really care. So if I get Secures, I don't care which one of these I'm playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But then maybe they're going, maybe your Criminal Syndicate list now, you have to build, well, okay, what if it's extracts? So I can't guarantee Research Station anymore. Maybe I put Research Station in there because I want to primary Criminal Syndicate, but then maybe I need to have a second affiliation for the other two crises that I could be playing.
Well, here's something. So as an X-Men player, I hated playing against Criminal Syndicate. And so I would bring like two Secures that were like good against Criminal Syndicate, you know, the ones like Mutant Madman or Sword or something. And then I'd have like a third one, which would be something maybe that's not those kinds. But now if that's a bad matchup for my X-Men, I need to bring like three that counter Syndicate because I can't risk getting Secures and then blowing the random card, you know?
Or another option you're maybe going to have to look at now is you have a splash affiliation for your matchup rather than doing it in crises. Maybe you're doing it in character selection now. So you're going, well, let me think about what affiliations do I feel like would be good. So I feel like I've got strong matchups into the field, except for these three affiliations. Great. Which affiliation can I sub into my list if I come up against one of them?
Yeah. It reminds me of a sideboard strategy when you played like a card game, mm-hmm. where like before a tournament you have to decide like what kind of opponents you expect to see, and then you have to decide then like how you want to play out the game. Like, do you want to slow your team down or do you want to speed them up? You know, I get what you're trying to say about like trying to like fix your team to not be like weak to those things, but honestly I just don't see that as realistic. I think your teams generally are good at what they're good at, and before we were allowed to change speeds a little bit so that we didn't, it's not so much you change your team, but you just change the way you play your team or based on the opponent you're playing. So then, you know, you just can control that gauge, but that's no longer a thing. So I don't know, man, I think you just have to decide like ahead of time, like maybe I won't see any Criminal Syndicate, so I'm not going to bother bringing those like Spender or Secure. So I'm going to risk it, you know, or I feel like I'm going to be the one like more killing focused than like objective focus. So I'll bring like demons downtown, or, you know, maybe, and they even spoiled a new crisis that looks like almost like a demons downtown 2.0. So, you know, and they're both the same threat value at 19, but you see my point is like, it's almost like a, like well before turn zero decision. And I don't know if I like that or not. Personally, I think I just liked it the way it was, obviously, because like there was a lot of strategy in deciding your three objective cards. And I think a little bit that's been diminished, which maybe obviously is the point, I suppose, right? Because really us competitive players, I think we were getting massive advantages, if we're being honest, right? With the way things were. I'll give you another example. I've had people ask me in messages about my roster in NashCon, and they said, how do you play your team? And I was like, you're going to have to wait for Mike to write an article, because I honestly couldn't describe it in a way that wouldn't take like 20 minutes. You know, the game has gotten to that level where it's like, well, it's 17 threat, but do I have priority? Do I not have priority? What objectives am I playing against? Am I going unaffiliated or X-Men? You know, there's like so many variables these days that maybe this is them trying to cut down on all that craziness. I mean, it would be a lot easier now to recommend objectives, I think, for people, at least once we get used to this new system. I definitely don't feel comfortable now to recommend things, but I think I eventually will.
Yeah, I kind of get that. But then I would almost say, why even take crises in your roster? Because, again, going back to Black Order, nothing for me has changed. And I think for Asgard, nothing will change either, because they still bring these flip secures. they can do the same thing. So why not level the playing field and just pick all, grab a pile of all crises and just draw two at random from those, so no one can force the game plan.
But the downside of that is it requires you to buy every box, you know, every box with a leader or every box with a crisis, at least, in order to get the full stack in order to play the game. And I think that's a line they don't want to make.
Yeah, I can see that.
Buy all the boxes. Probably good decision from business standpoint, from like a short-term money-making. Long-term people, that's going to turn people off because they're going to end up being forced to buy characters that they don't want.
But then they can sell crisis packs or something, right? Just a pack with...
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like it was sort of hinted, don't quote me on that, but I kind of got the vibe of like, they didn't exactly say it's only character cards in this card pack.
No, I think they said there was some other cards as well.
Yeah.
Oh, did they? Okay. I thought it was only characters.
No, they didn't say only characters. They hinted cards. They didn't say character cards. Mm. I was thinking I was the only one. But
maybe they'll give a reprint of the Legacy Virus with the correct shape on. Maybe that's one of the things.
I was wondering about that, yeah. Do you guys wonder, though, why they didn't make it four of each objective? Like, if we're going random, why are we going three-card random? Because a three-card random honestly doesn't feel random enough. The other thing I was thinking is, like, even while we were talking, is, like, maybe they should, like, restrict the map shape or something. Like, what if you can only bring one of each map type in your three? That might force a little bit of something different. I don't know, man. I just, right now it feels not random enough, but then also kind of feels bad for kind of the way we're playing and like the countering for the bad matchup. So the bad matchups feel worse. Maybe that's a theme of what we're trying to say.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that. To your point, I think it's a little bit of let's not change too many things. Let's change one thing and kind of see the effects. And then we can always change something else further down the line. I think they're in it for the long haul. They're trying to make a game that lasts for a long time and making like mass. This is a pretty big change as it is. And they want to bring as much of the community with them as they can. I mean, maybe there'll be a few people who quit the game over these changes. I think they're mostly positive. This feels like the one which somebody might go, nah, I'm out. But I think that's going to be a relatively small number of people.
Cards, it might be core set based, right? Because you don't get four objectives in the core set.
That's a really good point. That's probably why it is, yeah. Because the core set is meant to be this like self-contained, everything you need to play. That's probably the limiting factor then. But coming back to your bad matchups or whatever it was you were just mentioning, I think that's going to be something that is going to be an unintended consequence of this, because you're going to run into your, Wakanda waves. And unless you've got a good like 5-wide 15 or a good other piece of tech in your roster already for this, you know, once in a blue moon, because you've got to run into Wakanda and then they've got to win priority and then they've got to draw gamma waves. And that'd be the one that's, that you're playing. When that does happen, you're going to need specific setup in your roster in order to deal with it, or else you're going to have, you know, these teams that do ridiculous things are still out there. You're going to see them less often because you can't force them, but you're still going to run into them. And so they've got to be things that you're considering at crisis creation. And it may be that you consider it and you go, it's fine, I'll just dodge it. And you go, I'm not going to build for that. But then you're choosing the gaps in your armor at that point. And that is going to be something that does come up. And people are going to lose games because they'll say, well, I just didn't have the right tech for this specific matchup.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, those are way more frustrating losses than when I made the wrong choice in picking the crisis, because that's on me.
Right? Yeah, or you're making the game and that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just the choices you made at like turn minus one before turn zero.
Yeah.
But it
feels different. It
kind of feels like contrary to what their aim was, which was to say, well, I'm going to put these characters together. And they're trying to make the game so that all the characters are kind of in the same ballpark in terms of balance, so that you can go, well, I want this character with this character because I just want it. But sure. Maybe that doesn't translate well to the competitive scene.
Yeah, I think it's hard to do with so many characters out there and crises that do different things that I think it's almost impossible to like stop that from happening.
So yeah.
Go ahead.
I think we're all saying a whole load of this is positive. All the character reworks, 10 taxis cards, lots of positives. I'm not clear in my head yet whether I think that this change is a negative. I think it's definitely a change and it's going to take some adjusting to. And I think we're going to have to unlearn a lot of the things that we think we already know about crises and crisis selection and roster building and kind of go back to square one.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have asked us to do another episode on crisis selection, which is hilarious. I'm so glad we didn't do that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, we've been thinking about it for weeks and I've talked about this with many people. And I was like, wow, dude, like, I honestly feel like we could have with the old system done like a 4-hour episode. And that wouldn't have covered everything. And then we could have done like one episode for every affiliation and that would have kept us busy forever. You know, not to say like we do want to do that episode, but now we're probably gonna have to wait even longer because I don't want to feel comfortable talking about something without actually knowing what I'm talking about, you know. So it's going to take some time now to figure this all out. But that is a reality, though, of the game we were playing is it was that complicated. It's not like I'm trying to make it out like, oh, we're so smart. We have all these great ideas. It's more like this is so complicated. You know, I know like Jacob, you and I, we talk about like we'd have like a third crisis and that was like our sideboard specialty card. But even like I was finding with my X-Men, we were going down such a rabbit hole for NashCon that it was like we were treating like our entire secure setup is like almost like a counter pick side, you know. So if you win Pryo, you just have like all these counter pick choices. And, you know, it got so deep. Like, which do you prefer, secures or extracts? Why, you know, versus what opponents? It was so many different trees of thought that are kind of all gone. And I do kind of miss it. But, you know, I guess we kind of have to move on and try to find the new ways to kind of counter everything. I think Who's the Beatdown is massively, massively valuable to this. But I think it's going to be, like you said, almost the turn minus one decisions now, more than the turn zero, because there almost is no turn zero decision. It's yeah. I guess you still get to control Pryo. If you win Pryo, you get to decide secures or extracts. So there's still going to be some counterplay there, because you might have like good secures for this opponent or good extracts for that opponent, and that might be actually maybe you have like your secures be fast and your extracts go slow, and then at least if you win Pryo, you can decide to go fast or slow based on that decision, but it definitely makes losing Pryo worse in that case, right?
Because then you're forced into one which you might not want.
Yeah, and you're giving your opponent more agency on what you're doing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually, though. Trying to play that middle ground and go with that fast-slow idea. If they want a fast crisis, if I pick fast-fast or fast-slow and I win priority, I'm going to get doubly what I want.
Yeah.
Whereas if you win priority, I'm going to get 50% of what I want. Yeah. I'm not sure that's.
I've also considered with X-Men, this is kind of funny, but like go medium on everything. Yeah. Like Montesi, right? Like Montesi is kind of not fast and it's not really slow. So you're like, I guess I just don't decide.
Yeah, and like go for the one of the four individual secures, like the Infinity Formula and stuff, and just like, oh yeah, four, that's fine. We can have four.
Yeah, likely X-Men are going to end up having to take like Madmen and stuff because they need that counter, and they have first class, so they can afford to like spend their power turn one. That's my thinking with X-Men is like go Montesi and like Madmen and I don't know, maybe spider portals or something and kind of go from there. But
yeah. Having said everything's changed and different and scary, at the same time, a lot of the things which you've already learned about affiliations are still true. So, you know, Dave's talked about Black Order and saying, well, these crises that Black Order like, I'm just going to play these crises and maybe I have to add one more. But, you know, it's not, the game hasn't fundamentally changed. It's when you get onto the table, it's still the same game, and affiliations still play the way they play, but it's going to change that kind of meta sort of, the sideboard meta picking counter strategy element of the game, which, maybe that's a loss, and I didn't quite enjoy the sort of the thought that went into that process. But I'm open-minded to the possibility that this might be better for all our complaining. maybe this is good.
Yeah, who knows? We have to see it on the table, right? Because this is all theory crafting, and maybe in the end it's not so bad. But I think if I crank out my thoughts long enough, then even this can be broken.
Well, and we are discussing multiple things at once. I think the Who's the Beatdown is like, it gets weird. And like, I think you did say, Cookie, that it's like, those are the frustrating losses when you feel like you lost your agency and the game just kind of runs away from you because, the team that's better at objectives is beating you on objectives. And you're like, well, this is my life now, but maybe part of this is the fact that we had an episode recently about how we feel panic and virus are maybe a little bit not great for the game. And I am very hopeful that we're going to get a BNR, banned and restricted, in the next month.
This method will stop forcing those plays, right? So at least those are probably
33% of the time they will. there's still those other percentages, it's less often, I guess. Yay. It's like 33% less often.
Yeah, half as common.
Yeah. So they've officially made it half as common, which is a thing, I guess, and of course just roll better and don't lose prio, I guess. But I don't know. I'm curious what you think on that. Like, do you think that that's something that needs to be addressed, the whole panic virus thing?
Me?
Yeah, curious.
I'm forcing it, so let's keep it around.
You're forcing it?
No, yeah, I no. For the health of the game, I think, I don't know. Panic got restricted, right?
But yeah.
I'm at the point now with Black Order that I'm like, am I taking Legacy Virus or Panic as my third? Because I can, it's just such an easy win. And they don't need a second restricted tactics card per se, so they could play Panic, and with Legacy you get another restricted card, but it requires more tactics cards. It's a bit of an investment, but for Black Order it isn't really. So yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, and I mean maybe it's a bit niche, right? It's one affiliation, and it gets mentioned a lot, and I always wonder how many people are actually playing it, but.
It's totally true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is strong though. So, yeah. And I don't think you want such an outlier around, such a possibility. So I would say remove it in a way. And I mean, if you remove Eyes of the Prize, it fixes it on Legacy. If you just ban Panic, then it's not around. And I don't think it's a big loss to have it banned. So, yeah. I'd rather see it gone.
So something I think is important to make clear is that a lot of these changes aren't happening today. They've been announced that they're going to happen, but they're not coming in until kind of probably October, November. So the game is still the same game for like another month or two or whatever. And that particularly applies to Season 6 of the TTS League. So just a reminder, it is sign-up week. So if you haven't already signed up for your league of choice, whichever time zone you're going to be signing up for Season 6 of the TTS League, do it this week. Otherwise, you'll won't be able to jump in until week 4. And obviously, you can't make the cut if you do that. So make sure you are signed up. None of the models that have been released or been previewed sorry, are going to be legal for season six, only ones that have been released. And the rationale for that, as I understand it, is that we can't get answers on rules clarifications on any of their stuff until they've been released, or at least until they've been, I think that's the rationale that the league organizer's gone with.
Yeah.
Shame Dizzard's not there to kind of dig into that a little bit more, but I think that's the rationale.
Well, part of that too is we might not see these characters for 4 months or more.
Yeah.
So I think AMG could have decided to support this, but I think there's a bit of a, hey guys, you need to calm down. And if we're being honest, right, like TTS hasn't even enjoyed Sam Spam yet. You know, that wasn't even legal.
Enjoyed. All right.
Yeah. And I mean, we still have Midnight Suns and I think part of Convocation. So there's a lot of new stuff we can enjoy without going crazy over the other stuff.
Yeah.
I think, though, if I don't mention Rogue and Gambit at all in this episode, I might get attacked. So, yeah. Yay, Rogue and Gambit.
They spoiled Rogue's card and not Gambit's, I think, is a troll.
They want us to keep paying attention, I guess.
Didn't Pagani said something to you?
Oh, he did. He's like, is Sploosh happy now? It's like, you know, the meme, like, are you not entertained?
Oh, it's so funny.
But yes, he did. I love Rogue a lot. We're not going to do character reviews today, but I'm in love with Rogue. And Gambit's sculpt is gorgeous. So
all the sculpts. I really like the, what's her name? Magic?
Magic.
Yeah, I really like that one. Oh, it's so
cool. Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, I do need a photo though, Sploosh, of your face when it's revealed that Gambit has a four dice builder.
Oh man, it'll be right before I swallow up a whole thing of pills. Yeah, no, don't do that to me, please. But yeah, they're gorgeous. I've actually never commissioned anything for MCP, but I'm like super going to commission these characters because I realize even when I quit this game, I know which minis will be in the front row.
Yeah.
You know? So, oh gosh, so gorgeous. I'm kind of happy Rogue doesn't have to hold the that snitch from Harry Potter.
Yeah, what is that thing?
It's, I guess, like an energy core. I mean, I'm sure like the lore people will like super understand, but like, I believe it's the premise is she's bursting through a sentinel and she like grabbed his heart, you know, and that's what's happening. But I'm not adding that. It's optional, and I guess it's just like her fist. So yeah, but I agree with you too. That magic sculpt is insanity. If check it, have you seen the 3D version of it where you can rotate it and stuff?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She's not even like, it looks like her legs attached to the sword, but it's not.
It's
she's
not
like,
no.
Totally. Yeah, she's free floating. That thing's gorgeous.
It's really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to mention Gambit. This is the danger room after all.
Well, we also need some complaining, Sploosh, about Gene.
Oh, well, not yet. Once we get the character card, and I was joking with Pagani, it's like he won't be happy unless the character's completely broken. And I was like, well, I'll settle for like meta warping and, you know.
I'm depressed.
Yeah, you know, just that. That's fine.
But is Jean's not in the first 50, is she? So she's, in theory, not getting touched.
No, God, no. She's still Jean.
She's fine.
Stop it. Just stop it.
She is.
Wizard will continue to add her to his roster, only to cut her ad infinitum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every time I jump into Dizzard's games, he's cursing out Gene for doing nothing. I'm like, you signed up for this. Not to mention probably the most exciting part of the Pagani game that they streamed on, I believe, Sunday. Or maybe it was Saturday. I don't even remember. But it's definitely out there. Was when the guy, his Gene dazed. And Will Schick like crossed buildings, ran across like a parking lot or whatever, burst into the room and screamed, "Gene!" because he didn't play his Gene card. And then the guy's like, "Oh yeah, Gene!" And then he had Cyclops take a shot. But and the guy that did it, his name was Josh. So I'm like, I'm officially going to scream Josh every time I would use the gene card, which would be in casual games only. Gene, Josh, they're pretty close anyway, right?
Almost the same.
But I feel like watching that video just for that moment is worth it. It's very entertaining.
Apparently, Pagani was cheating in that game because he was only paying four binary form on Captain Marvel because that's one of the changes on her.
Yeah, apparently they're changing her to four and he didn't remember that. It's actually really funny because they were asking the developers to explain what changed on cards. And you could see them both kind of freeze and they're like, oh, God, what was the change? Because, you know, they probably have like 12 versions of Hulk in their head.
Which change?
Yeah. It's like, you know, like there's literally like so many versions of characters in their heads that they probably just don't even remember anymore. Like what one they even agreed to, you know? And of course, there's now I think there's going to be 100 characters now. Right. So. I can only and how many characters do you think they know about that we don't know about? Probably at least 50 more.
So at least.
Yeah. So in their heads, they've got to deal with 150 characters. I mean, it's crazy.
And then like six versions of each, and yeah.
I can't say enough how incredible this event was. I mean, obviously, I got Gambit, so like, you know, I'm happy. But you know, the changes in the way they're fixing the past and the future is so cool.
I really like that 90s commercial they did. Have you guys seen that?
Mike was saying he couldn't get that song out of his head. He wants the sound.
It was such a throwback. It was really like those Transformers commercials or like the Turtles or something, those toys. I don't know. Yeah. I find it really funny.
Oh, no, it was very good. It was, except it was very large children playing the role.
that made it even more funny.
My wife was listening to it going, what the heck is that? Like, what is happening? Random guy just screaming. I forget what they were saying, but yeah, they were just randomly kind of shouting stuff, you know, like Juggernaut or whatever. And my wife's just so confused about what's happening right now.
Cool. Well, Dave, thanks so much for coming in, stepping in at the last minute. It's going to give us your benefit of your thoughts and your hot takes on all the new stuff. If people wanted to get a hold of you, where would they do that?
Just hit me up on Discord under Utility Cookie or find me somewhere on Facebook. My name is Dave Denaud.
I was going to say, there's a number of Daves on Facebook last time. Yes.
Search long enough and you'll find me.
Nice. Oh, awesome. Man. You can find his articles across the Bifrost. This guy is
awesome. I have to rewrite them all.
Right?
Archive. You need to archive them all.
All right.
Oh, there's still relevant information. But yeah, there is a lot of new stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a number of things that need revisiting. Yes.
Well, hey, Jacob, if there's one thing AMG does for us is give us infinite content.
Yeah.
As content providers, we're swimming in a wealth of gold. I mean, it's just insane. I thought when we were going to do a once a week episode that that would be a horrible idea. And there's no way, how would we ever talk about enough things, you know? But man, that hasn't been an issue.
Oh yeah, we totally definitely did that thing for marking the fact that we've been going for over a year now. We did that thing, didn't we, Sploosh?
Oh yeah, that's right. This is like our year anniversary or whatever.
Well, no, it's like a month after our year anniversary, but you know, whatever. Oh, let's just blame Dizzard. He's not here.
Close enough.
Well, congratulations, guys. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, Dave. Thank you to all of you who have been listening and sticking with it. I know I've had one or two people hit me up and go, hey, I'm just listening to your back catalog and I wanted to talk about this thing. And I'm like, wow, okay, cool. So thank you to all of you who have stuck with us, and thank you to all of you who just recently discovered us and maybe go back and listen to some of them more. Some of our best episodes actually were some of our early ones, some of the really key concepts we went over. Those episodes still hold up, although maybe they don't anymore. Who knows?
Who's the Beatdown is still great.
I love
that one. It's like one, I think episode 4 or whatever. I recommend often our Crisis episode, but I guess we need to redo that one. So,
yep, we'll get on that. But just a final reminder, get your lists in on time, please, people, on the Google form for season 6. Makes my job of compiling all of the lists and who's playing what much, much easier if they're in on time. So, a personal plea from me. Cool. Well, thanks very much, guys. Hopefully we'll have Dizzard back next week. But until then, thanks for spending some time in the Danger Room.
Well, that wraps it up for this episode of the Danger Room. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something to level up your next game. You can reach out to us on our Discord, Twitter, or Facebook. The links will be in the description. We have a questions channel on our Discord, so feel free to drop us some questions in there and we'll answer them on the show. Thank you for taking the time and listening to us. If you're liking what you hear, leave a rating or comment, or even both. We appreciate any feedback to help us grow and become a better group to bring you the best quality content that we can. See you next time in the Danger Room.